Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:11 p.m. That is Pacific Standard Time. Today is December 14th. And we'll start off with a look at the total aggregate balance of central bank balance sheets. It's at 19.8 trillion. So no, this is not a chart of Bitcoin. This is central bank balance sheets that have risen by 10 times since 2002, when it was closer to 2 trillion. And it has been a primary enabler of the bull market that we've had since 2009 and 2008 for some of the better performers. And you can see that there was a big spike higher in 2008, and it just has not stopped since. And this is an important barometer, because when we look at what's happening in terms of central bank policy, well, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates and beginning to reduce the size of its balance sheet. And what this index tells us is that that's having no effect at all so far. And there have been a significant number of articles talking about the fact that monetary conditions have not tightened, despite the fact that interest rates have been hiked three times this year, and they're talking about raising rates again three times next year. Now, when we look at the ECB, well, what they're doing is they're still involved in quantitative easing, but they are moving towards tapering. Now, we know what tapering looked like for the US, and we can actually see that tapering has been underway for a while in the ECB, that the real spike higher was at the beginning of this year, and the pace of the advance has certainly moderated. But of course, tapering means that it will continue to advance, just not at the same pace, and it will do so for at least the next 9 months. And of course, the ECB came out today and said that what they're talking about is that inflation is running behind their expectations and could continue to do so for an additional 2 years. So they're going to be very slow about raising interest rates. Then when we look at the UK base rate, it has been hovering around this 50 basis point level for a while. I personally don't think that you can consider this 25 basis point hike a few months ago as evidence of tightening. It's the unwinding of a panicky cut following the Brexit decision. But this is a very instructive trend, where you see this very long downtrend in rates, and it is hard to imagine that they're going to get any lower. So that would suggest that there is the potential that they're going to go higher from here. The Bank of Japan is still in a process of both monetary and fiscal accommodation, and the Chinese are giving with one hand, taking with the other, so we might be able to conclude that that is relatively inert in terms of their balance sheet manipulation. What that suggests is that the number of central banks on which that trend in the expansion of balance sheets relies is primarily focused on Europe and Japan. And what they do in terms of monetary policy is likely to have a knock-on effect, not simply on their domestic markets, but globally. And I think it is worth keeping an eye on some of these exchange rates. So, for example, the euro was a little bit softer in here today. And I think part of the reason for that is because the European economy is doing fine, and in fact it is doing better than fine. We're getting growth stronger than many people really thought was possible only 12 months ago. But the prospect of interest rate hikes is well out there in the future, and that suggests that the interest rate differential between the euro and the dollar is going to widen in favor of the dollar. That suggests that that 120 area probably is a potential area of support. Now, if the pound with inflation that is running ahead of target, then that is more likely to be the place where we're going to see more interest rate hikes, and perhaps not simply the unwinding of an interest rate cut, but the actual move into a tightening program. So the pound was a little bit firmer in here today, but it has held this progression of high reaction lows for more than a year already, and as long as it is finding support in the region of the trend mean, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. What is very clear on that medium-term chart is that it has broken its downtrend against the US dollar. And when we look at the yen, then it was the dollar was a little bit weaker again in here today and off its low. Now, if it holds the 112 area, that would be a very benign circumstance for Japanese markets. But what I'm looking at quite closely are the banks. If I'm correct, and I still think that this is not a confirmed conclusion, but I think that the evidence is mounting that we are moving back towards an inflationary bias to the global economy, then what that would suggest is that Japan could be one of the places that really will benefit. Now, the banks have been weaker in the last couple of days. They have not held quite all of the breakout, but we did bounce from that $200, or excuse me, 200-point area in here today, and this does look like a breakout if it can continue to hold the 200-point level. If Japanese banks start to outperform, then they are pricing in the potential that the Japanese economy is going to do better, and that we could be entering a period of inflation. And Japan has an interest in running inflation hot. So that would at least help to erode the vast quantity of debt that they have outstanding. What is interesting is that bond yields were a little bit weaker in here today. Now, we've had quite a bit of volatility, so on the 10-year, the yields were up and then they were down. And part of the reason for that is because of the continued uncertainty about exactly what the form of or what form the tax cuts are likely to take. There was speculation about what it is going to mean for the repo market, and that is going to be watched very closely by the bond markets. Because if they impose tax on repos, then that really would upset the apple cart for the bond markets. It would make one of the everyday processes on which it relies to function rather more expensive. So that could be an unintended consequence, and it is something that we really should be keeping an eye on. And when we look at just, I'm sorry, that's the wrong ticker. When we look at 3-month LIBOR, we can see that it has been trending higher. It's at 1.58%, and it is picking up pace because obviously we have had another interest rate hike. It is still only at 1.5, just over 1.5%, and the Fed funds rate is at 1.5%. So you're not getting any pickup in 3-month money, so suggesting that if there are going to be interest rate hikes, the bond market doesn't believe that it's going to be in the first quarter of next year. And of course, we have a new Fed governor, so I think there is the potential that we are going to get something to test his mettle and to find out whether there is going to be a Powell put, just like there was a Greenspan, Bernanke, and Yellen put. So I think that is worth just keeping in mind. What is also interesting is that despite the fact that the dollar has been pretty trendless against the euro and indeed against the yen, it is firming against the Brazilian real. The government there failed to pass a key social security reform in here today, and this looks like a developing base formation, and it is now firming from the region of the trend mean, and I think as long as it is doing that, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. There is also the reality that Brazilian, let me just open this chart, and we can see that Brazilian inflation has been trending lower. And what that does is it takes away the pressure that the central bank might have to raise interest rates. Well, a country like Brazil, with a pattern of governance that isn't exactly encouraging, really does need to have that tailwind from higher interest rates. And it may not get it. If inflation is coming back, then there is rather less of an incentive to have higher interest rates. And most particularly as we head into an election year, the authorities may wish to try and boost the economy. So that is something that I think is worth highlighting. But of course, what it also means from the perspective of international investors, if the currency is going down, then that is going to weigh on the relative performance of the stock market. But if Latin America is coming under, or I guess Brazil is coming under some pressure, we had a pretty impressive day in Malaysia in here today. And Malaysia has soared higher over just the last 24 hours, and it's being led higher by its banking sector. So this is turning into more of a global theme that we're getting the outperformance of banks filtering through not just in the UK or in the USA, but also in Asia or in Japan. So the Malaysian index has bounced now from the region of the trend mean, and the ringgit has appreciated by about 10% this year. If we look at the Singapore banks or Singapore financials, it has been leading the wider market higher. Now it is right in the region of 1,000, so this is a potential area where we could get some consolidation, but this remains a really rather impressive pattern of outperformance. And Vietnam has been led higher by Vietnam dairies, and that has been accelerating higher, so that has pulled the wider market up. Now it is prone to some consolidation as it tests that 1,000-point level. And the Brazilian market is now approaching the peaks that we saw back in 2007, following what was pretty much a vertical advance. And I think we are due some consolidation, but it is much better supported on this occasion than it was back then. So it's probably going to be nothing more than some consolidation. Then, when we look at the European markets, Europe is acutely sensitive to both the performance of the currency and to the flow of liquidity. And how well the stock market does is likely to have an impact on what the ECB decides to do. The ECB isn't nearly as beholden to the stock market as the Federal Reserve is, so that influence is not going to be overbearing, but there is an influence certainly. Now, what we look at the medium-term chart, the Euro Stoxx index is consolidating around this 400-point level and above the trend mean. And as long as it is trending and continuing to hold the region of the trend mean, I think we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Now, oil prices were a little bit firmer in here today, so we're getting some support coming in the region of the lower side of this range. And as long as it is holding the region of $60, then this is a sustained breakout. And so far, this has been a reasonably orderly consolidation when we look at it on the weekly chart, but it absolutely needs to hold that $60 area to confirm the breakout. Meanwhile, natural gas prices were somewhat steadier in here for most of the day. They're off their lows, but this, and despite the fact that you have a short-term oversold condition, this continues to look like a bearish chart, and that the potential for a further test of underlying trading and potentially even a retest of that $2 area cannot be ruled out. And gold prices were in mildly negative territory in here today, but continuing to hold above that $1,250 area. It really would be the most benign scenario if we get upside follow-through on yesterday's upward dynamic. That would unwind more of the short-term oversold condition, and it would push it back above the trend mean. And it really does need to do more to really prove that the demand component is back in dominance, and that this would turn into a failed downside break if we got some upside follow-through. In the absence of that, then this could then be considered a distribution, and would open up the door for a further test, perhaps of that 1,200-point level. And when we look at Bitcoin, it was again unusually quiet in here today. The price has paused for 4 days now in this area. And this is, of course, following the launch of futures just on Sunday. So there was a lot of people bought in anticipation of the launch of those futures. And the big question is, how long are they going to continue to hold on for when they're not receiving the instant gratification they signed up for? When the price rallied from 10,000 to 17,500 in the space of little more than a week, people were obviously anticipating that it would continue to rise at that incredible level, and that has not been the case. So I've talked to a number of people who have complained about the fact that the processing times have been slow, the cost of processing has increased, and that is creating some difficulty in not only buying but also in selling. So we also know that a number of these exchanges have had a great deal of difficulty in handling orders for buying, but we also know from market history that when people want to sell, they don't sell a little, they sell it all. And that is a potential problem because you might not have stops in nearly the same way today in the cryptocurrency markets that you do in stock markets, but you do get slippage. And if they can't execute, and if there are major delays in execution, well, then that is going to contribute to exaggerated moves the next time we get one of these pullbacks. And it is worth remembering that Bitcoin is liable to get extraordinary pullbacks, and it is really quite overbought right now. If we simply put a moving average on it, the moving average is at 5,200, and the price today is at 16,000. So it could fall $10,000 and still be trading above the trend mean. That is something that I think an increasingly large number of people should at least consider the potential of. So I think when we take a step back, we can definitely see that there is, if we look at central bank balance sheets, that there is still plenty of money floating around. If we look at the consistency of trends, particularly on Wall Street, which has continued to lead, then we still have this progression of higher reaction lows. Now, the S&P 500 was in negative territory in here today, and not least because of continued uncertainty about the form of that the tax cuts are going to take. But as long as it is holding that progression of higher reaction lows, then we can give it the benefit of the doubt. It is due some consolidation. There is a short-term overbought condition, and the longer that the price can go sideways or pull back, then and unwind that overbought condition and put in a step, then that would be rather benign. The index has not pulled back by more than 80 points in more than a year, and a reaction of greater than that amount would be required to really question the consistency of this trend. The Russell 2000 has been under more pressure, and it is pulling back more. But again, this is a less consistent chart, and yet it has got us a short-term overbought condition, and the chances are that even if it were to pull back to that most recent low that was posted back in November, then that would probably approximate the region of the trend mean by the time it gets there, and that would represent nothing more than another step in the context of a medium-term bull market. So these are still broadly consistent trends, and we are getting some pause and consolidation, and that is rather healthy. And we would need a significant surprise, and most particularly on the tax front, to really shake the complacency of the bulls at this particular environment. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.